So, God bless everyone and welcome to another Skype Fellowship. And we've already had a wonderful discussion about Halloween just before we started. And so I'd like to welcome everyone. And I would like someone on the internet there to open up the word of prayer and then share what's in your heart, whatever God's inspired you with, whether it's a testimony or something from the scriptures that God's blessed you with or something that you're seeing that you want to share with everyone. And take your time, there's no rush. So, would someone like to begin?
Okay. I'll begin, Lawrence.
Okay, go for it, Kim.
Go for it.
Marie.
Go on, Marie. Bless your heart, darling.
I'm sorry, did you want to go first, Nancy?
No, it doesn't matter.
I can. Okay, sis. Okay. No, I just want to say, I love Lawrence and I love Kim, and I think you're a great inspiration and you're great leader believers, and
thank you.
You know, you're just so wonderful and we love you and we're so thankful for, you know, the fellowship and the family, and we just pray for our hearts and eyes of understanding to be opened. We pray for healings and great testimonies, and we thank you, Abba Father, for your love and your mercy and your forgiveness, and how your perfect love just casts out all that fear. And we are so thankful unto you, Abba Father. We love you with a deep and burning love, and without you we are nothing. And we just pray for a really good fellowship tonight, and for people's hearts and minds to be healed. And if there's any physical healings that may take place, may that happen, and people just minister to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So guys, I want to share a testimony about my mum. She got a cancer scare there a couple of weeks ago, which was unfortunate, but we know how big our Heavenly Father is, and how with him all things are possible. So mum had to go for a mammogram, but before she went, I prayed over her, I laid hands on her, and I ministered to her. God heard that. God delivered her. She got her results there the other day, and she's completely cancer-free.
Amen. Oh, praise amen. God.
Now, that's down to God, because with God, it's possible. With man, it's not really possible, but with God. So it's all about directing, you know, our eyes and staying our focus on God. And I love what you've been sharing during the week, Lawrence, all about our thought life and, you know, what we believe we will manifest into our lives. And I was sort of mentally challenged last weekend, but I just locked myself in with God. I spoke in tongues. I listened to that teaching, Lawrence, that you sent out on thoughts and how to rid of fear and anxiety. And I have just been having the best week ever, walking around with confidence and boldness, knowing that God is in control. I just said, God, you steer the way. I'm going to hand over the reins to you. You lead me, you guide me, you show me where to go and what to do. And he has just really blessed me with I've got a spring in my step, and I'm so blessed, and my college work is going great, and I'm getting my assignments done, and he's really blessing me in college, and he's blessing me in my workplace as well, and he's blessing me in every way possible. And I'm just so thankful unto God, and I'm so thankful for you, Lawrence and Kim. I mean, you're amazing, and I'm so thankful that you suggested I join this fellowship, because you're all my family, and I love each and every one of you, and I pray for all the time for you, and, you know, and I speak in tongues much, and I feel if the devil tries to creep in with a thought of fear or panic or anxiety, I just know, just cast it down, just renew my mind and believe who I am in Christ, and my identification is in Christ. And we have to stay focused on that and know who we are in Christ, and know that the works that he did, we can do those works and even greater works. I got a report from a guy in Uganda, Frederick. Do you know him, Lawrence? Have you been in touch with him? Are you friends on Facebook?
I think I'm friends on Facebook with the guy. I think, is that where, what's his name? Nally's going over, Brendan.
is Brendan going over?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I think he's going over to Frederick, but he just sent this report today. He said the report from yesterday's outreach, he said 200 people gave their lives to Jesus. Mm. 34 people who were blind got healed.
Wow.
12 lame men got healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And deaf ears were opened. Cancer was cast out, you know. And witchcraft is massive over there. There was 22 witch men who received Jesus and got turned on to the one true God. Mm. And all that witchcraft is just being cast out. It's fantastic. So it'll, you know, what's happening there. I know I seem to repeat myself every time I share, but you know, if it happens in Uganda, it'll happen in Ireland, it'll happen in the UK, and it is happening here. It is, guys. It is happening here. Yeah. Like, mom is totally cancer free. Praise God. That's glory to God. We just keep looking to him and putting our trust in him and staying faithful and thanking him in each and every situation of our lives. Even in the challenging times, I find that's where I really lock in with God and praise him. And once I do, I just feel light like a feather. So at ease. It's just been a fantastic week, guys, and I can't wait for the weekend. You know, God's in it, and when we invite God into the picture, life's pretty damn sweet, and I just love him. I love him. I'm in awe of him. All he's done for me and all he's doing for us, and he's just a great, big, wonderful God. He's our daddy God, and we just got to look to him and keep our eyes focused and you know, fear not, because it's not from God, it's from the devil, and all the devil can do is lie, and he's got no authority over us because of who we are in Christ.
Amen to that, sister.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to share.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Marie.
Oh, thank you.
Anybody else? You want to pass it on to someone else, Marie?
Who's doing the teaching tonight?
Ken.
I'll pass it on to you, so Lawrence.
You pass it on to me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I've just had a fantastic week myself, and God's been teaching me much. I've just been reading through the scriptures on the things about thoughts and taking no thought and how we think, and really, you know, our words are seed, like I was sharing, and what you listen to is seed, and what you allow to, what you focus on is like incubating that seed for it to produce. And God really, you know, wants us to focus on his words and what he says and who we are in Christ. It's, you know, we focus on the new man, not the old man. And we come from that place as believers that we are a new creation in Christ. That, you know, when we're thinking godly thoughts, like you said, Marie, you felt light as a feather. Okay,
yeah.
You put on his word in your mind when you were saying what God says rather than what you see, then, you know, your heart and mind is lifted, your faith is there. But, you know, our emotions and what we say, really, you know, what we are thinking is very powerful. And when we start to say what we're thinking and from our emotions, then it's going to produce fruit. It's like manure for your words that you're speaking, and you'll get the results of that. So really, just to be God inside minded and to really, you know, set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth, and then give your desire to God. Like, you know, let that be your dominant thought, what your desire with God is. You know, not let the circumstance or situation speak to you. And I done that teaching, and again, I received a letter in the week, and I didn't open it. And after I recorded that teaching about, you know, our thoughts, our emotions, and our words, I come down to make a coffee, and on the side was this letter. So I opened it, and again, it was another letter from Andrew Womack. Now, like I said, I must have subscribed to it because I keep getting these things. And I opened it up and I thought, who's this from? And and his main topic was about the imagination. The imagination in your heart, what you think, what your most dominant thought is, he was speaking about. And I'm thinking, well, this guy must have read Think and Grow Rich book. I was saying with Kim, I said, but look at this. God is confirming what we're sharing. to me that what we're sharing is right, that, you know, we're to encourage people not to be controlled by their circumstances or situations or emotions. You know, like God wants us to say what we want rather than what we see. You know, and faith isn't what we see in the senses. Faith is what we see within the mind, the thing that we're desiring. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are we believing for? What is the picture in your mind of the things that you desire? And your faith says you have it. Faith says that what we're desiring, the picture that you got in your mind or the thing that you desire before God, you see it, you can see it, and you see it as already done. Faith says that you have it right now. Okay, but the five senses says you haven't got it right now. So that's where the battle is. Well, I've been praying for this, but I'm not seeing it. And I heard someone share about an eagle. And the eagle, when it lays its egg, will sit on that egg for 35 days. And that eagle knows that it needs to be sat on that egg if it's going to incubate. And that egg needs to be at a certain temperature and kept at a certain temperature. And the eagle just knows it by instinct, you know, that it needs to be sat on that egg. And after the 35 days, it hatches and it goes. But during that 35 days, there's no physical evidence of anything changing, because change comes from within, right? So the changes within that egg is already developing and happening, but the eagle can't see that. The eagle can't see any movement or anything like that, but it stays the duration until that what's inside has been developed, that chick, and it starts to, you know, the only time they see the result of that is when it starts to peck on the shell and it comes out of the shell. And there you go. That's like faith. You know, it's birthed on the inside of you. And then when you give that to God, you know, you see in your mind's eye what you're praying for that is already done. That the thing that you're praying for, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, whether it's your ministry or your work, whatever phase of life that you're believing God for something in, you may not see nothing happen. And a lot of people give up before they see. And, you know, and God wants us to not be weary in well doing. So translating that into praying for laborers, you know, we pray for laborers that God will send us the ready people that are already desiring to move, that want to come from darkness to light, that are seeking God. And when we're desiring, you know, we might be praying for a long time and not see nothing, but God will bring those people in front of us, because the work is God's. It's not our work. And God knows where those laborers are. He knows how to get them to connect to us and how to get us to connect to them. He's the one that has the plan and the purpose. So we're going to see great outreach. This is what our hearts are. We want to see great outreach. We want to see people come from darkness to light. We want to see the word move into people's lives, and that many people are beginning to rise up to preach the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. See, the gospel is the power of God, you know. But there's things that we do. And what we do is we go to God in prayer. We give him our desire. We lay everything before his feet. Just like you pray for your finances or your health or situations. Marie, you prayed and ministered to your mom. You expected something. You didn't see anything before you until you got the results back, right? But you already planted the seed of faith. You had your expectation in God. So, you know, I would still encourage everyone, you know, just watch what you're listening to. Is what you listen to building your faith? And, you know, and how do you respond to the situations that are coming up in your life? Is your emotions driving you? But, you know, we're to, you know, to cast down every imagination. You know, everything that, any reasoning that comes up against the knowledge of God, we're to bring it back subject to the word. So if I got fear, I know God says he hasn't given me a spirit of fear. You know, if I got lack, I know that my God shall supply all my needs. That God, you know, that David said that he hasn't seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. See, all the circumstances are there to tempt us to worry, fear and doubt, and to take our attention away from God. But we're the ones that bring our minds back into line to the promises of God and who we are in Christ, remembering that we are heirs of God. we're joint heirs with Christ, that we have authority, that we can speak unto the problems, we can tell the problems what to do and where to go, and what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth will come to pass. So I just encourage you guys, you know, just watch the words of your mouth, watch what you're hearing, be careful to what you're listening to and what you allow to incubate in your mind. And you know, emotions are they're fleeting, but they're very strong. So when a situation comes up, now I could have allowed that situation last night with the post and everything to really trouble me, to worry about what people think, but I don't worry about what people think. I'm more concerned with what God thinks and what the people are involved in, and how can we bless them and keep them hot and keep them sharp and get the truth to them. So it all depends where your perspective is. You know, we can be in a perspective where we can judge situations in the wrong way, thinking we're so righteous. Or we can see what's going on. We can see further than what is in front of our face. Like, who's involved in the situation? What's going on behind the scenes? You know, what spirits are manipulating this? And how can we cast them out? And how can we minister in those situations? So your thoughts are very important. And remembering that your emotions, they can just be whipped up through what you're thinking or what you're hearing. But we can really control our thinking. You know, and it says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. So God says, don't be conformed. So he gives us it's like in the negative sense, don't be conformed. But then he gives us the positive words, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's not that we got to work to renew our mind. It's as we focus on the truths of who we are and practice, put some action to what we believe, put some actions to the words that we're speaking, and God will give you those actions to take, that we are being renewed, we're being changed from glory to glory, we're going from faith to faith. So it's quite easy to get focused on the negative situations in life. It's quite easy to get whipped up with the emotions of things, but we got to bring everything back to, you know, what does God say about this? What's God's heart on this? And if we're lacking wisdom, we can go to God, and he can give us wisdom in our situations. And if we got challenging situations up and we don't know the outcome, fear will give you an outcome. It's not going to happen for me. The doors are not going to open. I'm not going to win this case. All these, you know, fears will give you a result which is not true. All right? If you focus that way. But if you focus with God, you can say what you want in that situation. You can give that in prayer to God. You don't have to be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known to him. And we got to remember, this is a great fellowship that God has brought together here. It's not only just to be encouraged week by week, but what can we gain from what we're hearing, and what can we apply in our life on a daily basis? The teachings, we can put them up on the website, and it's great that other people can hear, but is it actually being beneficial to those that are listening? Are they put into practice the things that they're hearing, which God is illuminating to them to understand, and he wants them to know? So faith mixed with actions is also important, as well as our words. And that, you know, really, when you find yourself in a tough situation, then really, this is a great time to practice to bring your emotions in subjection, you know, to you, and to cast down those imaginations, those reasonings, and don't let your thinking get out of bounds. But, you know, just frame your doings in your heart and mind, and just be blessed and be encouraged. And with that, I want to make available, next month the website is due to be paid, and I know lots of people get blessed by that. So if anyone in their heart wants to contribute towards the payment of the next year for the website, you know, we'd be really grateful. It'd be a help to us and lighten the load on the financial side of things. The website is £240. It's not a great deal, but like I said, lots of people benefit from it. So if someone feels encouraged to help us and they want to send for that to be done, whatever God puts in your heart, any amount will help. You can send it to lawrencetor@live.com. That's my PayPal. lawrencetor@live.com. And you can send
how much is that? Is it $3?
About 300.
It's about $300?
Yeah. And if people send and it's more than what the website is, and I'll just add it for the next year. So whatever it is, I mean, I'm expecting from God anyway. But I spoke with Kim about it. Should we make it available to let people be included to help, you know, with the website? It's not a great deal of finance. And Kim said, well, if that's what God is putting in your heart, and I just, it's from your free heart if you want to do it. I will put my email address in the link there. And like I said, you can donate through PayPal if you're inspired to do that. So with that, I'll pass it over.
I wanted to say something about your sharing.
Go on, Nancy.
You got me thinking the other day when you did that sharing, you know, because, I mean, look, that's the basics. I love your seminar, obviously. We got to be concerned about what comes out of our mouths. But I had an interesting situation the other day in that one of the believers that we have in Pakistan, he's great. He loves God, loves his word. And he did a post the other day, and I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And it was a post of all the disciples. And then he had a whole list of how they died. Now, I know how Stephen died. I know how James died. And that, you know, that was a little on the negative side. But he had all the rest of them and dragged by horses, boiled in oil, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. So I just said to him, I said, Terry, I said, you know, where did you see this in the Word? And the only two that he came up with was, of course, Stephen and James. And so then somebody else said, oh, it's written by secular historians. And I think Josephus, I don't know if it's in Josephus, but there's a few others. So this was my response to him, because I was really concerned, because, you know, they got a lot of stuff going on over there. And the last thing you want to do is bring negativity and fear into the group. So I approached it to him this way, and I said, did any of this, did Josephus write any of this? I said I had heard some words about it, but pay a lot of attention to anything not written in the Word. So I said, James and Stephen I knew about, and I believe there are explanations for these. The church was young. Acts was a transition period. The gift and power of Holy Spirit, Christ in you, was new to the believers. Jesus paid the complete price for us all. And I believe the Word backs up our power base in Christ. Mm. And we do not, nor does God, want his kids to be martyred. As the church moved, they increased in boldness. Today, we have so much more information than the believers did back then. I mean, here they got the gift of Holy Spirit, all this power, but they don't know how to use it. So I gave him the scriptures about coming boldly before the throne of grace, that we can have grace to help in time of need. And the situation with Stephen, Stephen was older. And when he was being stoned, Jesus Christ stood up.
Yeah.
And he's seated at the right hand of God. And when he stood, that was a sign of war. He was ready to wipe those guys off the face of the earth. And Stephen intervened for them, and he looked into heaven, and he said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. You know, so the thing is, we've got to keep alive the boldness that God puts inside.
Yes.
Like you said, you have the website and all these teaching avenues. We don't want people going to, am I going to be boiled in oil? You know, that's garbage.
Yeah.
So I said, when Jesus was on the tree dying, he said in Matthew 26:53, he said, do you think I can't now pray to my Father and he'll give me 12 legions of angels?
Yeah.
Those same angels are available to serve us. We are as he is.
Yeah.
They never took his life. He gave it up when it was time. Yeah. Not before. They didn't touch him until he allowed it. So I told him we always have to remember Father's word supersedes man's words.
Mm.
Also the fact that God didn't write all these things in the Bible. They were from historians. So there must have been a reason. I don't think God wants his people to be living in fear of this, that, or the other thing. And then in Luke 10:19, he says he gave us power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
And then in John 4:4, You're of God, little children. You overcame them because greater is he that's in you. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit had brought them. But they didn't know it when they were in the book of Acts. They didn't know it. They were babes in the Word. And as what they did is, as they went through growth in the Word, they built strength. Because faith, like you said, comes by hearing the Word of God. And when fear slips in, it ties God's hand. So we have to sharpen each other, just like iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
So, I felt, because I've under-shepherded him a lot, that I had to respond in some way. But it's the same way with the world. This is happening here. This is happening there. Oh, this is happening to Christians there. Well, do we lower ourselves to the situation, like you said, or do we maintain the status of the Word?
Amen.
So I just, I wanted to point that out. And if people see that on the internet going around, confront it.
Yes.
We don't know why God didn't put everybody in there. I don't know what James' circumstance was. I don't even know with Stephen, but I do know they had the power to overcome any situation. As far as James is concerned, I believe that's written to the future 12 tribes anyway.
Wow.
So, but anyhow, I just thought I'd share that because it's like, God, how do I work with this? Because this is what they're saying happened. If it happened, it happened. But we know people in other countries that have been killed. We know other people that have stood their ground, and angels have appeared behind them, and the people pursuing them turned and ran,
Finnegan, yeah.
So I believe that it was the immaturity at the time of a lot of believers, and they just fully didn't know what they had. And you know who's a great example of that is George Mueller.
Yeah.
We know about healing. We've seen miraculous healings. George Mueller, his first wife died young, and he was a great man. He believed God for everything, but I don't think they fully understood back then the power of the resurrection and the power of what Jesus Christ made available. By his stripes we were healed.
Yeah.
So again, that's why we want to keep each other on our toes. But anyway, that's all I wanted to share.
We need to be bold, and to be bold to declare in the things what God is putting in our hearts to speak, and truth, because people need to be encouraged. And we can point out what's wrong and what's, but let's point out what's right for the believer to do, and let them focus on that rather than focusing on the negative or not what to do, or you can't do that because the word says it's. No, focus on what God says you can do. God says you can do all things through Him who infuses inner strength into you. And when your mind's turned to God, then you can start doing those things. But we're focusing on the things that are wrong all the time. We're pointing out to people, this is wrong, that's wrong, and that's wrong. Then, there's a time and place for that. We know all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, for doctrine, how to believe rightly, for reproof when not believing rightly, and for correction, which is back to believing rightly, which is instruction in righteousness, So there's a time and place for everything. And I've seen that post, Nancy, and I've seen that you asked him where he got his information from. Which I was going to say the same, but you beat me to it. You're on the ball, girl. But the point is that, because then people start
believing
a lie.
There you go.
Yeah, people start believing a lie otherwise, But there's always an explanation. And the ones that really want to know, we see the example in the scripture. The humble and meek ones want to know, will come to you to ask you. And it's like, when Jesus talked about the parable of the seed and the sower, it says that, he spoke in parables. And then the disciples and others come to him. And he says, to you is given the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give you some understanding, he says. I'm going to help you to see because you really desire to know. And there's not a lot of people that really want to know, like, how do we really move the world? How do we really heal and set people free? What authority do we really have? And, so making these teachings available, many people go and listen and get blessed, but are they receiving it to really understand, to apply it in their own life and to move freely with God? Because we really are powerful people, and God you know, has given us the authority. We're the ones to use that authority. We've got an access to him, so he wants us to pray to him. And he, you know, when we go to him, we're realizing that it's that we can't do it in our own ability or our own knowledge or wisdom, but we know to be humble, to go to God and say, Father, now you show me, and that you direct me, and you lead me by your Spirit, not by my knowledge. I don't want to be led by my knowledge. I want to be led by your Spirit. And I know that God, when we do that, God will really enlighten you with the truth of how to move with him. And you know, again, you know, not to promote anybody else, but you know, the Word of God in India is continuing to move on a rapid, consistent basis, because they are encouraging these people on a consistent basis to move with God. No one's telling anyone what to do apart from just encouraging them that you go to God, you open your mouth, you have authority, you put your desires to God. And you know, and we are going to see the Word move in a great way. And so anyway, I'll shut up now. And like I said, I put in the chat box my email address, which is linked to my PayPal account, if anyone is inspired to help us with the payment of the website. So with that, I would like Becky Jancy to share.
Hello. Hello. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hope you're all okay. So I've got a couple of testimonies. I'm obviously, we're still moving house. Everything's obviously in the limelight. And I got a phone call, I think it was last week or the week before, saying I've been accepted. And then I've been waiting for a viewing date. So the the lady on the phone had said there's no way it's going to be before the 29th of October, which is next Tuesday. But I seen Lawrence on Monday, and Lawrence has just encouraged me about confession and speaking what I want and what not what obviously the world says and what God says. And me and Jack were on the way to, I was dropping him to work, I think it was yesterday, the day before, and I said, I'm going to get a viewing this week, I know it. And he just looked at me, and I even though the woman said that it'd be no way, it's not before the 29th, but I was really inspired, and I thought, I was praying about the situation. I said, God, move in this situation, because we need to be out of our house by the 1st of November, which is next Friday. So I said, I was praying to God, and I was asking him, and I was just giving him my desires, and I was just really inspired, and I just said to Jack, I'm going to get a viewing this week. And I got a phone call yesterday saying, hello, I've got some good news. Can you come for a viewing Friday, which is obviously tomorrow? So okay. I was so blessed. I was so happy, because I thought the lady before said there was no way it's going to be before the 29th. And I know that we will be moved out here by the 1st, because once God does the first thing here, then do the next. And everything seems to have rank quite smoothly so far. We, even though it's taken quite a while since August, I know we will be in there by next week. And I can't remember who it was, but Lawrence sent me, it was someone on the Skype Fellowship, and it was a lady, and she had been praying, she prayed to God, but she moved somewhere, and she got each thing that she prayed for really cheap. And can you remember who this is, Lawrence?
Bambi, maybe.
And it really inspired me. And
yeah. States?
Yeah.
Say that again, sorry.
Well, it was Bambi. I think she moved from Nicaragua back to the States, and she came back with nothing.
Yeah, she came back with nothing. She was really detailed, and she said to God what she wanted. And she was going to, like, marketplaces, I believe, and that, and she got everything that she needed. Like, and when I read that, it really, really inspired me. So I've just been sat, and I've been thinking, I know, obviously, God don't favour anyone, but that when I read what she had wrote, obviously, with us moving, it just inspired me, and I sat and was thinking about it, and I thought, right, God, I said, we need everything for this house. Like, we're moving in with little, and I sat and I've been praying stuff, and the money for my carpet has come, and my flooring, which is great. I've got a washing machine, and it's just the little things, really, like a new kettle and a new toaster. I want all new plates and stuff. So I went into Sainsbury's the other day, which is one of our local shops, and there was a plate set there, and it was £44. And I said, God, I am not paying it when it's brand new out. Bearing in mind, Sainsbury's has just had their sales on their plates and stuff. So I said, I'm not paying £44 for a plate set. I really can't fathom that, to be honest. So I said, God, I want that, but I want it half price. So this was 2 weeks ago, and also we seen a kettle and a toaster, and I really liked it, but for the full set, that was £80, and I was like, I'm not paying that for a kettle and toaster either. I said, God, I want that half price. And I walked off, completely forgot about it. So I've gone into Sainsbury's today, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go and look at their plates and stuff. I'll see if there's anything new, because for some reason, I'm really fussy about my plates, even though we're going to be eating off them, and it's not going to be that much of a big deal. I don't know why. But anyway, I went there, and the plate set that I wanted was half price.
Wow.
And also, the kettle and the toaster that I wanted was half price. Wow. So the whole thing, so the plates, the kettle and the toaster should have been, I think it was £122, but I got the whole lot for £67 today. Wow, I was so there.
Beautiful.
Honestly, it made me so happy. And then this morning, I woke up, because I'm really trying with this confession thing. It's because obviously your carnal mind, you naturally think of the negative mostly. Well, I do anyway. I do.
That's right.
So I'm trying to think of obviously the positives, and really trying to bring God into my word, and trying to confess good and be positive about situations. So this morning I woke up, and the first thing I said to Jack is, my mum's going to win the lottery. I don't know why. And I rang my mum today, and my mum, I said, the first thing I said this morning to Jack was, you're going to win the lottery. She went, funny that, I won a lucky dip last night. I wonder whether the numbers are going to be winners. Isn't that funny? So I didn't know that. But I just said to Jack, what was the first thing I said this morning? He said to me, I said, yeah, well, my mum won a lucky dip last night. So this confession thing's brilliant. God's really good. So if I win the lottery, my mum, I'll make sure she buys you guys whatever you want. Even though I know it's not about money. Yeah. But I've been really, really blessed. So I've got my viewing tomorrow, and I'm so excited about it. I can't wait. I've been waiting for months for this. So yeah, obviously keeping your prayers, even though it happened, will be moved out by next Friday. Even though I know that it will be.
Yeah.
I will be, because apparently they haven't painted or anything yet. But anyway, it's going to be done. God's already sorted this, the viewing night for this week, as I asked. But yeah, I've been really blessed, and I've just been trying to listen to the teachings. So I listened to Lawrence's teaching that he'd done. I listened to Kim's last week, after fellowship last week, because I didn't manage to come on because my daughter was unhappy. But yeah, I felt really, really blessed, and I really encourage everyone to just confess what obviously God says and just keep positive. And I just thank you for listening. And I hope you have a great week.
Excellent. And it was great to see you this week as well. And also, Kim was blessed to see you, and little Darcy, she's really doing so great. Miss you too, Jack. We love you. And so thanks for sharing. Kelly, would you like to share? I know that you shared in the beginning, but is there anything on your heart you wanted to share, love?
Hey, sorry, trying to unmute. that just blessed me a lot. That was everything I need to hear, so thank you. What was your name that just shared?
Becky.
Rebecca. Yeah.
Hey, Becky. Nice to meet you over Skype.
Hi.
Hi. So many things. This emotion, I need to listen to that one on the emotions and the thoughts. And I actually restarted the seminar that you did again. I've been just kind of resettling with God again, because not that you ever go away from him, but
yeah.
Just my thought processes have not been all that great lately. I've been in a lot of fear and falling back into old thought processes. And there's just so much going on. Like, I recently found out my parents are going to be moving to a different state. And like, our lease is up right when my baby's born. And I'm like, you know, it's just, so you know what though, it needs to be, and I know this, and I have been taking my thoughts captive and leading them to, you know, the word, and just remembering that, and also just writing out lists of the times that I've been in fear that God has just come through. And it's not always in my timing, you know, it's not when I want him to, but he's always right on time. And I just, you know, I cannot wait till I get mature enough to where when these things pop up, I don't ever waste any time getting all, you know, frustrated, flustered, and missing out on opportunities to bless people because I'm so caught up in myself and my own stuff going on. But that, what you just shared, just completely blessed me, because it's just what I need to hear. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing, where we're going to be, but I do know that God is faithful, you know, and he's not going to leave us hanging. He's going to give us everything we need at half price. And it's just going to be wonderful. And this whole Skype fellowship has blessed me a lot. My schedule kind of reopened up a little bit. I'm a lot more flexible again, so that's nice. But the downside to it is my finances are kind of like iffy. They come and go. They ebb and flow. Some months are great and some months aren't so great. I have to become a better steward of my money because I haven't been so good with that either. So I'm just like in a growth spurt, I think, because so many things have been brought to my attention. And it's cool though, because I used to condemn myself about everything and get like really down on myself. And that's one area that I noticed that God's really worked in my heart on. And I don't really do that as much. I can still get some negative thoughts and fear thoughts and stuff. So there's definitely progress. There will be until Christ comes back, but I'm just super blessed by this fellowship. One thing that's been, on my heart heavy this week, I listened to a teaching by Dr. Rarewell actually earlier this week, Stewards of the Mystery, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he was going through 1 Corinthians, which is funny because, you know, a lot of that goes hand in hand with a lot of the things that were shared today, you know, even with the judgment and everything. But the thing that popped out to me was 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Amen.
You know, we just need to be believing. We need to believe God. And then it says, you know, it goes on to say, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. I judge not mine own self.
Amen.
For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Like, you know, we're not supposed to be sitting there. And I've also been kind of, I guess, whenever you get fearful, I think it kind of goes hand in hand to be judging.
you.
And that's not correct. Maybe that's just me. But I do. I sit there and I'm in judgment of things. And it's because I'm judging myself so much, I think. But God reproved me so much because, you know, for one, fearful, that's the opposite of faith. You know, if I'm going to be living in fear, that's the opposite of faith. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I need to be believing, you know, and not judging, not even my own self, because Christ paid the price. You know, it's not about what I do anymore. And then I think it's actually in this chapter too, where he talks about, where is it? Maybe it's the next chapter. But like, who knows the thoughts of a man beside the spirit that's within him? It talks, where is that? Does anybody know? It's somewhere in 1 Corinthians. Hold on, I have to find it because I won't do it justice. Because it was just another like aha moment, you know?
Yeah.
Hold on. Maybe it's before that? Yeah, I think it is. Hold on.
It's great seeing your pictures on the Facebook of you and your little one.
She's so sweet. She makes my life. I just love her. I really love what God, seriously, that's been another thing that's huge, is like, just what a blessing it is to have kids and how much it shows us, like, the way God views us.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't ever matter what she does. I'm going to love her with my whole heart, you know, like, and all I want is the best for her. And no matter how many times, if she messes up, I'm not going to sit there like, you know, in judgment of her or condemning her or any of that stuff. I'm just going to encourage her and teach her and, you know, pray for her and pray that she, you know, can see these things on her own and go to God on her own, you know? And it's just really cool how he worked it, like, so that we can better understand. It's helped me a lot to understand the relationship aspect.
Yeah.
Here it is. Okay, so it's actually 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Oh, man. Okay. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And it was just like, whoa, you know, like, okay, so we have that spirit of God. Okay. So we can know what, because he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Well, he gave us direct access to his thoughts and his ways. All we have to do is get quiet enough to hear him. And I was like, whoa, he's like, that's so awesome. So just the same way, like I was sharing earlier, when Brielle comes to me with something and it's an opportunity to speak the word to her, having to really do like what Christ did and just stop. Okay, God, so what do you want me? What do I say here? How do I help her? And he'll give it to me right then and there. And it's like so amazing and powerful and simple, you know? And that's what we have available in every situation. And it's just exciting to like, that's what we have to look forward to here, is like getting better and better at that relationship and that one-on-one connection with him, to where we can watch him work through us.
Amen.
It's like, cause he already made that spirit available. So I've just been super blessed. What you shared before me, Becky, was just like exactly what I needed to hear. And I just love you guys so much. But I think that's all I have to share for today.
No, that's awesome. No, that's beautiful. And, you know, like with those things that, like you say, you can ask God, and like with stewardship, you can ask God like to give you wisdom. So where we lack wisdom, it says in James, we can ask God and he'll give us that wisdom. And he will really teach you. You know, he done it with me when I asked him for wisdom in stewardship, because, like, you know, we're stewards of a lot of things, stewards of the mysteries, stewards of our lives. You know, we've been entrusted with everything, and what we have is actually God, so we got to be good stewards of it. And when we recognize that, then we go to Father and we say, Father, look, help me to be practical and a very good steward in the things, you know, what you've given me, and in the areas that I need to be that good steward. And he teaches us. So, you know, really blessed with what you share.
Cool. Well, you bless me all the time, so I'm blessed to bless you too. Let's see. So who didn't share yet?
Right. So
Amy.
Amy. Yeah. Amy is not on. But Feeder's on, Frazana's on, Chrissy's on, Anna and Pedro are on, Samar from New Zealand's on, and Mike and Norma are on.
Okay, well, Vida, I'm not sure I've met you, but I'd love to hear from you.
God bless you, Feeder.
God bless.
God bless you, darling.
How you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Well, it's so wonderful to hear you guys. Oh, wow, a lot of things going on. I'll start here and maybe work back. My daughter, you know, you guys have been praying for her. She had a stroke. Last Saturday, she had to do a follow-up MRI, and it was completely clear, nothing on it. God has completely healed her. So, that is so wonderful. Also, the first of the month, we did our annual weekend up in Applin, Georgia, and it was so tremendous. I don't know if you guys know yet, but we got a baby on the way.
Wow. You?
Justin and Alyssa, they're pregnant. They announced it at the weekend. They're pregnant. So,
Justin and Alyssa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, guys, if you're listening to this.
What was that?
That, yes. I said,
I didn't
congratulations
hear
if they're listening to this.
So, yeah. She was 11 weeks, so maybe 13, 14 weeks now. And, we was taking our picture, and Ian said, okay, you know, say Christ in you, say whatever, geez, say I love the Lord, you know, just different things. And he said, say congratulations to Justin and Alyssa for the arrival of their baby. And we all had those faces like, oh, our mouths was wide open. So it was a great blessing and surprise for all of us. But it was a wonderful weekend. The theme was triumphant praise. And, you know, praising God is just the thing. You know, it's the thing to do. And it is so many variations of that and ways that you can do that. And it's about, you know, just giving God your whole heart in however you're doing that, you know, whether it be in song or poetry or in dancing, you know, because it said, you know, scriptures tell us a lot how David danced before the Lord, you know, and that verse in the chapter in Psalms 150, you know, gives a whole lot of different stuff, you know, with harps, with trumpets, with, you know, we just give praise to God and our constant. It's like almost, it's a constant state we should be in, where it's like, you know, we are praising God, and we do it regardless of the circumstance, you know, whether things are going and flowing well, or if they're not flowing well, we're still to give praise to God. It was such a tremendous theme, and to see, you know, that even in a bigger way about praising God. I know for me, myself, when I get in those places that I feel stuck or don't feel, you know, like I would like to feel spiritually, I find that in my praising to God at that time, it is the one thing that helps me get back to where I want to be, even when other things may not, i.e. doing a word study or studying the word. It's just opening up my heart and getting connected with the Father brings me back to that place where I need to be, where I can receive you know, his word in a better way, or I can, you know, sit there and think about what I'm learning from him. So it's just it was a wonderful thing. Also, one of the great things that I really... Okay. Stop phone. one of the things that was on my heart going up at the weekend was tithing and offering and giving. And, you know, just walking into... My thought was when I went up to the weekend, because I always go with my request as well. You know, God, what do I want to see? You know, when you have weekends like that, or you have a weekend where you're with believers and the expectation is so high, it's good to go with a expectation yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And so my thing was, I want to get to the point that I am so free in my finances that I don't have to go and check my account to see, you know, if I can give somebody $200 or $300 without seeing if it's going to overdraw me or if I got enough to do it. I want to be able to just freely with my heart do that. And that was what I went up to the weekend with, you know. And I wasn't too sure how that fit with the theme about triumphant praise. And Daniel Gann, he taught on finances when we was up there. And I had already, prior to going up, I had already done my tithing, you know. And with that expectation I had in my heart, it was an opportunity to give. And my thought was, well, you've already done it, but God told me to do more. And I'm like, huh? He said, do more. Now, mind you, this is what my request, my expectation was, you know, and not thinking about it at the time that, you know, I had asked God to, you know, really show me this. He told me to do more. And I'm like, okay, now I haven't gotten to the point that I check my bank account before I do it, but I did do that. But I was obedient, and I went through my PayPal, and I did it quickly on my phone so that the enemy wouldn't talk me out of it, because he had already started with the thoughts, well, you've already given, you don't have to give anymore, you know, you've met your quota, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, no, I this is what was really on my heart, and the fact that he's teaching this, you know. And so he bought a book. He had about 9 of them, called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. And he said that, you know, that he had them to give. Anybody wanted them. And but there was one criterion, is that you had to open the book and actually read it. I'm like, well, you know what? I said, that's interesting, because I got a lot of those here that I have purchased and never read, right? Yeah. So I was sitting there and I was waiting, you know, and while I was there, I was visualizing myself in my bed actually reading this book, you know. And it's just shows how, when you ask God things, how he will work the whole situation to answer your prayer, to bring it to pass. And I mean, everybody else getting their needs met at the same time too, so you know, it's not like if he answers mine, he don't have time to take care of somebody else. No, he's too big. And he can answer all eyes at the same time, you know, where somebody else have another request and they're getting their needs met at the same time. So I went over and I picked up the book, because, you know, it's like, I had this request in my heart, and you are making it available for me to do this. So I'm going over and pick up the book. And I brought the book home that Sunday after I got back, and I opened it up and I started reading. And as I read through it, there was money in there. I'm like, wow. So, I mean, even before the week out, everything that I had given out and even more had come back to me. And it's not about the money, but I do not want to be limited in doing what I need to do for God.
Amen.
So I don't want to have to worry if someone needs me, because we just had a situation, someone in the fellowship, as a matter of fact, the girl that she went up there with me, she's in my fellowship, and she needed about $2,500 to keep from being evicted. And I'm like, there's no reason I should not be able to do this, you know, and not even think about it, you know, because this is the family, this is the household. And I've been so reproved in this area, because I was, you know, being a fellowship coordinator, I wouldn't even teach it because of the fact that I thought people might think I want their money. And I'm like, how evil is that for me to allow the enemy to come in and actually steal from them? Because that's what's happening. Because I'm not teaching them the principle about giving and receiving. You know, I'm not teaching them about trusting God, because that's basically what it is. I mean, because it doesn't add up, you know. And God's math is totally different than what we, you know, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + God = everything. And he brings and he supplies whatever it is the need is. So it's like my whole perspective had to change myself, even within my fellowship, because, like I said, I wouldn't even teach it. I just wouldn't even touch the subject, you know. And sometimes I wouldn't even make it available for people to give. It was a fear that I had. I'm like, how can the fellowship prosper when your attitude yourself is that way? You're yourself is not believing that God is going to honor his promises, you know. So I had to change my attitude about that. And that was one thing that I was really asking God to help me with on that. And I mean, it's not that I didn't give, but I know that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, or even just, you know, proving God, as it says. I wasn't even proving him, like, okay, well, you know, you don't think I can match what you can do and multiply it, you know? So it is so about faith, and, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, without faith in what we do, and tithing is so wrapped around faith.
Yeah.
It is so wrapped around faith, because you're saying that, okay, and that's, you know, that's what we look at. We look at money, and how can some little piece of green paper so influence our behavior the way it does?
Yeah.
You know, because it really, I mean, it itself actually has no value. It doesn't. I mean, you think about it. It's a green piece of paper, and people can even make it look just like the real thing now, you know. And so how can it is a faith phenomenon that has to take place in your head and your heart. It's just something that has to, because it doesn't even, you know, it doesn't even make sense. So we allow those things like dollars to, you know, put us in little boxes and not trust our Father to take care of us. And we hold on to it, you know, and that's not walking in freedom. So I am so blessed. I want to share a little bit about the first part of this book this man wrote. And what he would do is that he would get $100 bills. And he would have so many in his wallet. And he would, you know, give them out as God directed him to. A lot of times to homeless people and people, you know, that needed it. And it was a opportunity for him to speak to God. I mean, to speak to people about God. And one day, she asked. It's called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. I'll put it out here. One day.
Thank you. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. No, you don't have to be sorry. You're fine. one day what he did is he went out to the parking lot to give, God directed him to go to the parking lot, and there was a lady out there, and he directed, God directed him to give her, open his wallet to give her money, and he did, and he had $100, but he had $20 in there. He didn't understand where the $20 had come from because he only get put hundreds in his wallet, but God told him to give her the $120. So, and he didn't understand why, and she explained to him, she said she had, for her first time, tithe, and she was trusting God, and she, you know, didn't have her rent or what have you, because, you know, she didn't have very, very much money. And it just so turned her heart towards God and delivered her that God would have him to come back and give her that money right back of $120. So that's why God told him to give her the $120 plus put the $20 in there, really. You know, from that time, and then his kids would see him do that, and which turned them on to God as well. So my goal is to, I don't know, I think I'm gonna see what God tells me. I'm gonna start with either 10 or 20, and I'm gonna walk around with 10s and 20 in my wallet and see how God directs me. I just want to practice this, so be it, because like I said, I want to be able to bless the body. And to get back to the lady that went with me the weekend that was being evicted, she, that Monday, because this is the weekend, so that Monday she had to be out of her, no, the following Monday she had to be out of her apartment, okay? And so at the weekend she gave her last. She gave her last, and she did not have money. I mean, 5 cents wise, she did not have money to give. She's facing eviction, right?
Yeah.
And she did not have money to give, but she gave her last. And so that Monday we got back, she went to court. They told her that, you know, she had to be out by the following Monday unless she came up with the money to pay it. And that Wednesday during the week, we did our fellowship. And I don't normally do or ask people for money, but I did put it out on PayPal. And, you know, I've seen campaigns that do not even go anywhere, but I felt inspired to do it this time. Will I ever do it again? I don't know. If God inspired me to, maybe. But it's not something that, you know, I seek to do. I just seek to try and walk with God. So put it out there. And when I went to bed that night, it was at maybe around $500, and I woke up that morning and it had superseded what the goal amount was. And it blessed her heart. You can imagine what it did for her heart to see that God would do that for her.
Wow.
And the fact that she had just given her all because she was just going to trust him. You know, she said, I'm tired of not living the way God wants me to live. And she said, I'm just doing it. I don't care. And, you know, I'm just going to trust him. And she wasn't even expecting that to happen. She had made up her mind that if she had to, she would go back to Florida to live. She didn't want to because she, you know, she, this is where she said she came and heard the word, and she wasn't getting the work where she was, and she wanted to stay here in Georgia. And God blessed her. So I said that to say thank you for putting that out there about the PayPal, Lawrence, because we need to be challenged to give. Our Father has so much, and we haven't even begun to tap into what he has.
Amen.
And if we don't walk by faith and trust that he is the supplier, then you know, we're going to keep missing it. So I just wanted to encourage you to keep doing that and keep teaching us about that and teaching people about that.
Amen. That's beautiful, Fida. Just, you know, one thing you've kept coming to my mind that I learned was that, you know, money is the servant, not the master. You know, and one thing I was sharing with Becky was that when you give, when you honor God, your money will go further than you can ever imagine. And she's experiencing that now. And like I also shared the week before, I was sharing with another person. They just asked me what I'd been sharing on. And I said, oh, we've been sharing about giving and honoring God and the blessing that we can, honor God and also, be blessed and prosper too. Because the giving is where we prosper with God in our finances. And this person was totally vacant to what I was sharing. But my son, Danny, was at a distance. He could partially hear what I was saying. He came up and said, what are you talking about, Dad? So I started to share. And this other guy walked off. And then I continued to share with Danny. And he said, oh, this has really blessed me, Dad. He said, I'm really inspired. And unbeknown to me, Amber told me the following week that when they left that day, he was so inspired by what God worked in my heart to share with him, that he inspired her. And since then, they began to honor God again. And like, he sent me a message, Dad, check your bank. I've sent you ABS. I want to make sure you got it. And he said, I'm so blessed that I can honor God. And things are just flowing lovely for us. It just really blessed my heart that, sometimes we could be ministering to someone else and it could be touching someone else's heart. But, the key to your prosperity is your honoring God, and he multiplies that seed sown. He will take care of every need because he is our sufficiency in all things. It's not about the job isn't the sufficiency. It's an avenue where God has supplied us, but God is the source. Remember that God is your source of supply, whether he gives you a wonderful job or whatever it is. How you get your revenue, God is the source of that, and he has many avenues to supply. And it's just a thing that people need to learn to trust God in, and the key to it all is the consistent faithfulness of doing it. And if you want to accomplish great things, be consistent in the little things. And thanks for sharing that. And do you want to pick someone else to share?
Okay, who do we have left?
You've got Anna and Pedro, you've got Mike and Norma, you've got Samar from New Zealand, you've got Jason here.
Okay.
And you've got Frisanna, you also got Frisanna. Sorry, Frisanna, I didn't...
new faces. And who is this? You said Samar?
Samar. Oh, is he? You still on Samar? Yeah, he's from New Zealand.
Okay.
He's from Nepal, but living in New Zealand, sorry.
Okay. Is he there?
Are you there, Samar? You need to take your...
Yeah, I'm here.
Bless you.
Thank you.
So, share what's on your heart, bro.
Okay, last time, it was my first time I joined a Skype fellowship, so I couldn't share my testimony properly. But this time, I'd like to share properly, and my English is my second language, so
We're there with you. Take your time.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to share about my testimony here in New Zealand. I came here on 3 months ago, and I didn't know anyone here in New Zealand. Like, I didn't know any people who was like close with me and who was gonna help to me. In the beginning, I faced a lots of problem. The college, I was kept in a hostel, in a town hostel, and there were all people from another countries, not from Nepal. I couldn't see any people from Nepal. And I was really, for some days, my college has not started at the time. So I was really it was a really hard time for me because at the time, like, I didn't know anything. Like, it's a new country for me, and it was a new place for me. Everything was new. So in the beginning, I really struggled. I really have faced a lots of problem. Like, I was afraid that, I didn't know how to find, how to search for a job. I didn't know how to search for a room. I had to move from there after 2 weeks, and I didn't know how to search for a room, and I didn't know how to search for a job. I had certain money, and I sometimes I would be afraid that my family would send money for me. I used to be afraid of that, but every time I listen to Nepal's fellowship on internet, when I saw the situation, I was alone in the room and no way to go. And I even, for 2 weeks, I even didn't eat properly. Like, I didn't have like much things how to cook. And like, there was a, like, I was in a hostel. So like, I didn't eat properly for 2 weeks. Like, I had to go, like, I spent my time without eating as well, like just noodles and boiling noodles and like bread. And it was really tough time for me, but I had prayed to God about job and room as well. And then I hadn't applied for a job, but suddenly one of my classmates, he told me that there is a vacancy in one hotel. Then I went there and I got a job. And on same day, like, I also got a room as well, and got like provided in a such a way that I even like I was so discouraged because of the situation and because whatever was happening to me. But later I started to adjust here. And in the beginning, for studying as well, there was so much trouble for me. An assignment, I really, my English, like, and this, I studied my like whole college life and school life in Nepalese medium. So it was my first time I studied particular course in English language. It was really tough for me, but whenever for doing assignment as well, it was hard for me. But I used to pray to God, and God, he told me, tell me what to do, how to do it. Like, whenever I prayed to God, he would guide me, and he would help me to do my tasks. And then everything went so perfectly, and now everything is fine. That God is doing so many things in my life, so many testimony I have, and I'm happy that I have hope, and I believe that He has a perfect plan for my life.
Amen.
And nowadays, like in the beginning, I didn't like used to focus on God, and I didn't used to, I couldn't, like, because of the situation, my eyes went off from God. I had started looking to the problem, and those problems would discourage me, and so many things, like feeling alone. Like, I didn't know anyone here, so I was alone. But nowadays, like, I have friends, and I can go to fellowship. I can go for Bible study as well. God has provided people for me as well, like minister, and so many things God has been doing in my life. And I have so many testimonies. I also passed in my first semester, and everything is good now. And I also share the word of God to other people, and I shared my testimony to them. I encourage them to believe in God. And God is so amazing, and He's always with us, and no matter what situation we are in, He's always with us, and He always makes a way for us. And that's what I want to share. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you, Samar, for sharing. That's really, really great. And God is with you. That's really fantastic for sharing. And you'll have more testimonies as well to share. Okay, we'll pass it over to Anna and Pedro. God bless you guys.
Hi, God bless you.
Bless you.
Good night.
God bless you.
Okay, I have listened to everything, and I have so many thoughts crossing my mind. And it's amazing because about the conversation, previous the beginning, about the traditions and Halloween, I don't have anything to say about that because there is no tradition. It's beginning in Portugal, but it's not something very important. But it leads me to Romans chapter 14 and Colossians chapter 2. If you want guys to go there and read it, you can read all the chapters. They are amazing, and there is a part about not judging others. And first of all, don't judge your brother and sister in Christ. That is about what I have to say about that, because when we judge, our heart is not light. And it becomes difficult for us to live with that, because when we judge, our thoughts are not sound, and they begin to become negative. And anything that is negative, it's not from God. So it's good that we can stay focused on God and His things, His Word, so our hearts will be more light. And this is a daily decision for us to put God first, to go to Him, to think about Him and everything that is made available for us, to trust Him. Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith.
Amen.
And we don't see all the picture unless God shows us. And sometimes we don't need to see things or to know, and especially as someone said, sometimes or all the times we don't know what is the heart behind the action. And some people do things or go to places and go leave traditions because they are alone and they need someone to love them. For example, it's what crossed my mind. They need to see, to feel the warmth of another being, someone loving them and treat them like a human being, someone that is important. And for me, every day for me, it's a day to bless someone, to love someone. And it means, when I mean love someone, is to respect and to make them understand they are important. Everybody is important. Everybody is a role in life and in the family, at work, wherever. And even unbelievers will recognize that. Some people, I can give only my example, but some people recognize there is some authority. They don't know what it is, where what it comes from, but they recognize an authority, because at my work, I'm no one. I'm just administrative, so my role is not so important because I'm not working with equipment, or I understand that. I have no problem with that at all. But some people recognize some authority, and when I say something, they do. But it's because it comes from God. It's His wisdom in me. It's everything He showed me, and He teach me to say or to do. So when we are doing what God shows us to do, it's amazing because everything is going to change, and it will bring profit for our lives and others' lives. And everything I was listening, everybody say something that it's really important and touch my heart. But this thing about judging is very important, that we I can speak for myself. I had to make a break on that, because if I was judging too much people, my heart will be, it will be hard for me, and I will be negative, and it's not good for me. So I imagine it's the same with the others. We need to be light. We need to enjoy life, because God gave us everything.
Yeah.
Nothing is ours. He gave us everything, so we should give too. One thing is, we receive it, we have a lot to give. We have love, we have wisdom, we have knowledge. We have knowledge about God and Jesus Christ. We know things about life that no one else knows. We have a lot of things to give and to do. And sometimes we can probably will not go directly talking about Bible or God or Jesus Christ, because some people get scared about that. But in time, they will understand there is something really important, and they will understand there is truth in the things that we say. So I exhort you guys to live life and rejoice in God and rejoice in everything He gave us, and just let's love and give and teach and cherish people, because they need to be loved. They need to understand that love is the most important thing. God loved us. God loved the world, so we can love people and bring them back to God, to reconcile them to God. It's our role. It's to reconcile people to God. So, God bless you, and I'll
bless you. Anna. Beautiful.
Thank you, Anna. God bless you,
everybody. Bless you, Pedro.
Hey, bless you guys. It's been a blessing listening to so many testimonies and some new people coming around, and you know, seeing how God is moving in our lives and His Son's lives. And it's been a quiet week. And today I went to the scriptures, and my eyes just fall upon this scripture. It's a book I usually don't go often, Jeremiah. And those two verses in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13, call my attention. I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will waken unto you. 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And this is curious, because it reminds me of other verses in the scriptures that I read after. And I was looking to this, and the way we can look and search for God with all our hearts, you know, and then when we look for Him and we search Him with all our hearts, then we will call upon Him, you know, and we'll pray unto Him. And just before these two verses is verse 11, which I sometimes like to do this, like to read in the end the verse that comes first, because somehow God is putting it there as a beginning, but also is the ending of it. Because, and just let me read you Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected hand." In Portuguese, it says the hand that you expect. So what God is saying here is that when we look for Him with all our hearts and we go praying to Him after we seek Him with all our hearts, and knowing also His thoughts for us. This is important, because that's the way it works. That's God's way. We have to have to know His thoughts for us, that are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And those thoughts have the purpose to give us that end that we expect, the things we like and we want from Him. And that reminds me of Matthew, you know, Matthew 6, those verses 33 and 34 that say, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then 34 says, "Take therefore no thought," and Portuguese is careful thought, "for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficiency unto the day is the evil therefore. So what he said, what Jesus Christ is telling us here in Matthew 6 is also what God already told us in Jeremiah, in the way that when we seek God first, or the kingdom of God, the things that pertain his kingdom, you know, the spiritual things, as it said in Colossians 3:1, seek those things that which are above. When we seek those things of God, the things that are spiritual from God, and his righteousness, and his righteousness is his thoughts about us, you know, because it's what's right on his side, what according to his will is right. That's God's righteousness, and especially what is right for what he sings about us, what he says about us, it's what is right about us, and that's what we should think for, look for, you know, not only the kingdom of God, the things spiritual that pertain to God and God's will, but above those things, or along with those things, the righteousness of God, the things that are right on God's eyes, on God's will, which he says that are right. And the ones have to pertain about us, this is about us too, you know. And we know that righteousness came to Jesus Christ and the work he did, and we just need to believe it and act upon it. But then when we have this heart, then we will call upon him and he'll hear us. Doesn't mean that he doesn't hear us before or otherwise. It means that we get answers because we have our heart on the right place. We have our right on God's righteousness. We have our right trusting God on righteousness, on the right way, the way God wants us to trust him. And we know, as God knows, that his thoughts are thoughts of good and not evil. And that all that will bring us to the end we desire. So this is all together, and I didn't ever seen it before like this. I knew Matthew and those verses about seeking the kingdom of God. And I know about the righteousness of God for us through Jesus Christ. But how important this is to make us, you know, have be conquerors through Christ. That's also, it says that we should have no careful thoughts about the day that comes, tomorrow. We shouldn't have no, like in Philippians, it says that we should be careful for nothing. When we are with our hearts completely persuaded of the righteousness of God for us. And it reminds me, God gave me these images, like, you know, we have a garden, a tree in our garden, an orange tree, a big one, is the one that has the best oranges. And usually the big, nice oranges are just in the top of that tree. And even with a ladder, when I try to get them, their branch is on the way because it's a very big tree. And even if I can reach it, you know, sometimes it's hard because I have to pass through those branches. So what I'm saying here, you can see those oranges, you know they're good, but you get to get them, you get to reach them. And sometimes it's a strike, not because God make it difficult. No, that's the way our mind, our whole man is. And as I have to, you know, fight against those branches to get that nice oranges on the top, we sometimes have to fight against our minds and, you know, pass over all those, you know, tricky thoughts we have around that just natural, they grow up with a tree, you know. Not everything is perfect in our mind. And then when we get that orange, that good fruit, then we can have it, then we can hit it, then we can assimilate it, then we can make it part of us. But if you see it, just doesn't mean you got it, you know. You got to go for it, you got to seek for it, you got to seek it with all your heart, you know, to search for it, as the word says. What I'm saying is, you can know God's word, you can know what God says, but until the moment or the time where it reaches your heart and is part of you, and then it came into your believing, you can really then make it yours and act upon it and live it. And it's something you have to do every day, because every day some branches will grow in the way, you know. Our mind is full of thoughts that came outside, and some maybe old thoughts that we don't realize are in the way of that righteousness of God for us that it put in us through Christ. And sometimes we just have to, you know, that old man, it's a funny thing about the old man and the new man. I remember when I first knew the scriptures, and everything was new for me, and it was so easy to believe it, you know, and live upon it, because as that it was new, we just grab it, you know, we just make it ours. And then that new man became like almost an old man, not in a way it's not the old man, but it's a new man you are used to. So if you don't make it new every day, you know, if you don't go look for it every day and make it new, because it is new, it's alive, you know, Christ in you, the Spirit of God, it's alive, it's always new. It's us that are so used to it that sometimes it seems like we already know it all. We don't know it all. It's alive. It's always alive. It's always new. God has always new things for us, and that's Christ in us. It's us that make, and the adversary, of course, that want to make it look like the old man in the way you are so used to it that you don't realize how new, how dynamic, how powerful it is. Because sometimes we, all over these years that we know the scriptures and God's power and we are believers, and we make something that is really extraordinary in this world, something that almost seems, you know, normal and vulgar for us, which shouldn't be like that, because every day this Christ in us is new and alive and is always different in the way that he can always bring something from God to us that we don't know yet, or you don't even realize it quite deep as it is, because the things of God are deep, you know. Only gonna know it all when Christ will be back. But day by day, every day, you can go to God and know more about that Christ He making us, because it's alive, and that's why it's new. It's not new in the sense, oh, I didn't know it before, now I know it is no longer new. No, it's still a new man. It's still a new man, because it's always newness on it, always something new about it that God will bring to us if we seek God with all our heart, putting Him first, looking for the things above, and knowing His righteousness, knowing what is right at His sight, and what it has to do with us on that righteousness too. But not only us, others too. The righteousness of God is just not for us, it's about for others that believe it too, and that God loves too, you know. So, and then God gonna answer us back, you know. God is, because our heart is ready to receive, is ready to listen to what God has to tell us on this new man that is always new. That's why the word says that new man renews every day, you know. It never gets old as the old man is old. So that's my thoughts for you guys. Bless you. I would like to hear from Jason, if he's around there. Jason, my man, bless you, brother.
Hey, Pedro. Bless you, brother. Thank you.
Hi, Jason.
Yeah. Hey, Anna. Hey, everyone. God bless. Oh, God is still on the main throne, and Jesus is next to Him at His right-hand side. And I said, what shall I share on, Lord? And He said, camera. So, Lawrence has been playing around with his new camera, and we were in Kingswood and we're talking about this, and I shared on this, didn't I? I've always had a passion for cameras, but never really pursued it. And we saw one in a shop, and it was gone for £125. It's a good camera. Brand new, it was about £450-£500 a few years ago. And so I put a deposit on it, and I've just been waiting for 2-3 weeks, and I got it today.
Yay!
So I'm now ready to become
David Bailey,
another camera dummy, following the footsteps of all camera dummies, and hope one day I'll get some great pictures. But other than that, I lost my broomstick, and I don't know where it went. I saw some guy flying around my area on something, but it might not be in the same thing. But yeah, it's just listening to everybody tonight was great. It's all for me. You see, it's all down to the battle in our minds and where we keep our minds, where our minds are going, and. For us, we keep our thoughts on God and on Jesus Christ, and we keep ourselves in check, knowing who we are in Christ already. And heard so much about just loving people tonight as well. And even Jesus Christ says, "Judge not, lest you be judged," and all that. So we got no rights pointing fingers at anybody anyway. So, and it's funny because God was working on my heart the last couple of days. Even about myself, not even judging myself, let alone anybody else. And you know, the Apostle Paul wrote that, you know, who about judging another man's servant to his own master he stands or falls, yea, he shall be holding up for God's able to make him stand. And it's funny because it was all coming back through my mind again tonight, hearing everybody talk. But also, we know the world gives us a tough time. And we're believers, so it's not that we've got all the answers, but God gives us the answers. He's the one that's got all the answers. In every avenue of our lives, every second, every moment of our day, we can just turn to Him and say, what do I do here? What do I do there? And it's easy to get bent out of shape about what's happening around us. It's great trying to work on the forgiving thing. The forgiveness is like forgiveness is the balance line of all of our lives. If ever there's a balance in life that sets it one way or another, it's the forgiveness. And if I've got something against somebody and I don't forgive them. He said, you know, Jesus Christ said, if you don't forgive somebody else, God's not going to forgive you your sins, your trespasses. And I think, ooh, I don't really want mine held against me. So, but it's not just forgiving from the sight that we want to be forgiven. It's forgiving from the part of compassion and recognizing things the way God recognizes things in people. And we're born in sin. Everybody's born in sin. We couldn't help it. It wasn't our fault. And we still got an old man nature tapping away at us. So we got to give ourselves a much easier time. And each other a much easier time as well. And, sometimes, you know, we're not perfect. We can be mature, by the way, just by understanding the heart of God. And it doesn't take years of Bible verses to do that. But I asked the Father, okay, where should I read? It was on my heart to read some scriptures this morning. And he just told me Psalm 37. It's funny because what sparked up in my mind earlier was verse 25. And I used to live on this verse. This was my bread and butter once upon a time. And it really still is today. It's just that it's become a great practice to remember this. Verse 25 says, I once was young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread, right? And the first time I really believed that, I hadn't been in the Word a very long time. I didn't know much of the scriptures, to be honest, but I knew some and certain things. And I had a big bust up at home. I was living back home with my parents. I was young. And I bust up with my dad. I knew it was alcohol induced. It was the enemy getting in there. It happened with both my sisters first and then me. And it was just a matter of time. And I'd just gone up to my bedroom, packed all my things, and didn't say a word. And gone back downstairs and then I was hit with it. If you're going to be like that, you may as well pack your stuff with God. I said, well, I have already packed. So it was time to fly the nest, so to speak. And it's funny because I remember walking up the garden path to the garden gate. I had all my stuff, opened the gate, and as soon as I stepped out onto the pavement, I closed the gate and said, "Lord, I'm homeless. I need your help." And I remember Psalm 37:25 was going through my mind the whole time. I said, "What do I do?" And as God just showed me what to do, literally, I got a place to live that day. And it's funny because it came to my mind today about something else I needed to find out about, and I thought, sheesh, that's a needle in a haystack, man. How am I going to find, instead of how am I going to find out about that, I just looked straight at God. I said, you're the expert on this, Lord. I know you are. And it was like years ago, if I need a place to live, or if I need a job, or if I need this, or if I need that, and I haven't got a clue to get it, I'm thinking, needle in a haystack, Lord, help me. And every single time he came through for me. I'm not perfect. Of course I'm not perfect. Does that mean God's going to deny me? Of course not. He wants to do more for us than we can even think of asking him for. But I was having a great time reading through this chapter. I haven't read it for a long time. And it starts at the top of the list, verse 1, you know, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers," or unbelievers, you could say, or, you know, even people that just do wickedness all the time. "Nor be envious against the workers of iniquity." You know, people that are doing just wrong all the time, even if it's deliberate or even if it's accidental. We don't have to envy them. And a person's got everything. And, you know, they're nasty to people, but they've got everything. And I think, well, so I'll stick with heaven. I'll stick with what my daddy's got for me, okay? He's bigger, he's better, he can provide everything I need. And then verse 2 says, "They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord." That's where our trust should be. "And do good." We know how to do good because it's born within us to do the good. Because we got Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yeah, everywhere he went, he did good. He wasn't even looking for the things he wanted. He had that anyway. But he looked to do good and spread good around to people. And I love what Marie showed earlier. That's bold. The cancer, excellent. Kick its butt. Anytime you come up against anything that's not from God, kick its butt. Do it in that way. We got the authority to do that. And that's doing good. It's taking our authority seriously and taking authority over the enemy and just kicking its butt out. At the same time, as remembering who we are as children of the Most High God, we don't have to envy anyone. We don't have to look at what other people have got. I happened to catch a glimpse of a video on YouTube of a guy that was from Iran, and he's living in America, and brought up a Muslim. He explained what it was like on the streets of Iran, and most of the people haven't even got cars there. And he, as a child, he'd walk along the road, and people with businesses weren't allowed to open at certain times. If they did, the police dragged them into the streets and beat them in the streets in front of people to show an example. One thing apparently that happens over there. And they hit their heads on the heads with daggers or swords to show their allegiance and to score points in heaven. There's a lot of the internet is censored. They're very restricted. If they want Bible, they got very slim chance of getting Bible. And this guy grew up, and at like 19, he was curious and really was starting to question things in his heart and mind. He had no one to teach him there, yet through persistency he found the four gospels on the internet, read them, and got born again through that and started speaking in tongues. He straight away, he's on the streets telling other people. He was attacked, but then God said to him, "Now get up and leave this land." He said it was like Abraham in the Old Testament. he went into Turkey, found Christians there. They turned a church around with an extra 150 people in no time. They had to do this, that, and the other. And then authorities, the guy that got him going to church was a spy. He wasn't a genuine Christian. Spying it all out, and they went in, made ransack. So they had to relocate somewhere else secretly. And then God put in his heart to go to America. He said, I only had $300. It wouldn't have got me there. Everybody else is scrimping and saving to try and get the $1,500 they need. He said, God just got me to America. I only had $300, and yet I'm in America with $300. He still had the $300. I don't remember him saying how he got there. Then he saw the American way of life, and he's like, wow. It's a stark contrast from what he'd seen where he was from. And how children over there are subject to watching these beatings take place and watching the adults hit themselves on the heads with these daggers and swords till blood comes out. And I actually watched something on that years ago, and I watched a guy almost pass out with it, and an elder next to him lifted him back up again so he could carry on doing it. I thought, you're kidding me, man. But the guy looked up at him, he's in a Christian church, and he's doing very well with God. He's doing very well with God. But his heart is so just there to please God. And in his face, you can see in his face, just the joy he's got. But you can tell he's walked the walk before he got to the place that God was taking him. Wonderful heart. And I think, wow, it's just incredible that we can complain because there's a change in the weather. We can complain because somebody just looked at me the wrong way. Somebody said that the wrong way to me. And then Jesus Christ forgave everybody everything they did to him. And it was like some horrendous things. Everything he went through was horrendous. I couldn't get through that. I'd be like, no, I'm coming back to get my revenge on you guys. But he wasn't like that at all, and he just trusted in God and did good. You know, when we trust in God and do good, the promise on that command is that we verily or truly you shall dwell in the land and be fed. We're going to have everything we need, folks. What are we worried about? What are we worrying about? And Vita shared earlier about the giving. I love that subject. So many people hate it. I love it because it shows the heart of God, because God first gave his only begotten son and as a ransom for our lives. That's a payment that I have to make. And who am I to hold something back from God? But the thing is, the ministers need to be taken care of, but the believers need to understand that we're to expect from God. It's like, literally, you know, I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seek begging bread. And David was a big giver. He encouraged the whole of Israel to get up, let's build the house of God. Bring in abundance. And people were bringing in abundance. He put out of his own pocket. I don't know what it would be in today's currency. You could say tens of thousands of pounds or dollars, millions even. These guys weren't shy to do the giving when it came to it. And we shouldn't be shy to do the giving when it comes to the building of the household of God today, the body of Christ. And you know, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You put him first in all things, every single area of your life, and he's going to give you everything you desire. I got a brand new camera. I've desired that all my life, but never realised. I've never thought, oh, I can actually get one, and I could get into this, because I've been perhaps too busy with other things, or maybe looking to see what I can do for God, and God's trying to say to me, hold on, take a step back, sir, let me bless you. Remember that camera I put that desire in you when you were a boy? And I remember back over the years, I've had a fascination for cameras, but not recognised it. And sometimes it takes
somebody else to point things out, to point something out that's the obvious, that's been staring you in the face the whole time. And maybe every one of us has walked past something because we're too hasty either to go and please God or to go and please ourselves, whichever way it is. And this is the other part of the balance of it all, is there is a balance with all of it. And I think of Solomon, and when the kings and queens came to visit Solomon, they were astounded because even his servants were very blessed. They were happy, they were joyful, they had everything, and they were just do you know what I mean? They were the servants in the palace. They weren't the king's family. They were servants of the king and his family, yet they were so abundantly blessed. How much more is God going to do for his children? So I'm still learning this stuff. I'm still stepping up to the places I should have stepped up to probably years ago. And verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, right? Just commit it to God, give it into his hands, every single detail. And again, it's learning. And, you know, if there's something you can't figure out, kneel in a haystack, Lord, you know that one. Lead me, teach me, show me, guide me, take me to that place, take me to that needle in that haystack. And to be honest, I sat down here tonight, I didn't have a clue what I was going to say. But this is what's in my heart, and it's really great because we know that everything God wants us to do, there's a promise at the end of it. There's an abundance of promises of God, and we know that he's not ever going to let us down. We won't go without a meal, we won't go without a drink, we won't go without a roof over our head, warmth, light, comfort, clothing, shoes, what you name it, he can provide it. And we put him first in every area of our lives with our whole hearts. And you know, when my money comes in every day, I can't wait to separate it out and give a portion to God of what he puts in my heart to give. And you can't outgive him, and he's created the whole universe, so he's cattle on a thousand hills. I bet it's more than that. So that's what's in my heart right now. So I'm gonna be quiet now, and I'm gonna pass it to
Mike and Norma, there's a
fantastic Italian guy waiting to share. He's a great brother of mine. Mike,
you there, bro? Mike, hello, Mike. You there? He's there, but his mic's on. Hello? You there, bro? Oh, here he is. Can't hear you, Mike. Need to take your mute off.
God bless you, man.
You need to unmute your mic, Mike. I can see you. We can't hear you. Can't hear you, mate.
Yeah, there's no sound.
I think... Oh, your mic's still on. No, can't hear you. It's still saying that you've muted your phone. No, can't hear nothing. Got to keep pressing it, mate. It sometimes does that. Maybe sign off and come back on. That might do it. Right, he's coming back on. Just bear with us, guys.
It's not alright. Not listening.
No. Right. Is it there now? Alright, mate. There you go. Oh, you've gone back off again. No, it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yay.
Yay.
I can't hear you now.
<That's> okay. Can you hear us now? Hello? Speak. Your mute is back on again. Now it's off. Oh, he's left. I think he's going to come back on again. It's on the phone. Sometimes they play up like that. All right, come on, Lord. Let him be able to speak. He must be signing back on again. Ah, there we go. We can hear you. Speak.
Speakers.
That's it. We can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. See
me now.
Yes, oh, his mic's gone on again.
Okay, hit now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Excellent.
Okay, we're here, huh? I don't know what it was, but, okay, you sure I'm Italian, Jason?
that's what you said, wasn't it?
I think so.
Italian stallion.
Italian stallion, yeah.
I'm studying to be Italian. basically, I'm just blessed by what everybody's been sharing. I mean, it's amazing how we can tune into this fellowship and just learn from everybody. It's everybody has not just a testimony, but everybody is a leader and everybody is a teacher in their own rights. I was blessed last night. I was supposed to go over to a neighbor's house with Norma, but my phone went off and it was my son James. And you can hear me, right?
Yeah, can hear you, mate.
Okay, and he had a question about the PFAO book, okay, because he's so wrapped into that book right now. He's wrapped into that book and about what we learned from different classes, because he joined a church next to where he lives so he can, you know, do for God and get involved and whatever, but the pastor there passed out this sheet of how you can learn the manifestations of Holy Spirit. And my son was troubled because it was lacking things like tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, healing, everything that had to do with power was off the list. And even some of the things that we know are manifestations of Holy Spirit were not properly identified. And he was really discouraged about that, and he called me because I guess through the years that he has heard us talk and seen and heard some of the power that we have seen as we walked with God and, you know, tried to learn His ways and what have you. And he knew and knows that power is available. And this relationship that we so desperately need and want with God is also available. And he was troubled because he joined a fellowship, what they called it there, to sort of learn and help others. And the leader of the fellowship totally denies that power is available, that tongues is available. And so I questioned him a little bit about the leadership, and it turns out that the pastor's son is born with a mental illness, and nothing has ever changed. And I can understand how people, if you know, if they don't get it, I know some of the people that I counsel, especially young people, it's some people, it's hard to believe that there's a God or God is there or God answers when they've prayed that their mom or dad, you know, wouldn't die, but they died, or wouldn't get a divorce and they got a divorce. So they turn, you know, they totally turn, you know, their backs on God. But there's a way to work with people like that, you know, and to turn them back to God, back to Christ and the scriptures.
Yeah.
But it really troubled him to see that an entire church was divested of any power that God and Christ made available to the church. And then he had a question concerning the book where Dr. covers and makes a statement where God's willingness is equal to his ability. And he asked, he said, why did, you know, Dr. say it that way? He says, I understand God's ability, but why did he preface his willingness? And I want to explain to him that, you know, sometimes as believers, our biggest problems arise from not understanding or knowing or believing God's ability. We know God is God. We know that he's able. We know he's capable. We know that he's all-powerful. But sometimes we come up short in our believing or understanding that he's willing. He's willing to do things for us. He's willing to bless us. He's willing to heal us. He's willing to take care of our needs. So I was so blessed that we spoke at length about this, and now he understands God's, you know, willingness is equal to his ability. And it blessed me to know that he wants not only to understand the scriptures, but also to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in the power and the power manifestations that God made available to us, you know, to bless people, to heal people, to bring them from darkness unto light, you know. And we have a high and mighty calling to do that.
Yeah.
So it's important, you know, in the military, in the army, let's see, how can I put this delicately? They say that poop runs downhill. who asked back there? They say that poop is another word for it, runs downhill. And it means if your leadership is bad, or if you have poor leadership, it's going to run downhill. Norma lost it right now.
Did Norma miss that?
Yes, it did. Norma, even though all these years, she's writing this down because she's finally hearing me say things about the military that I never would share with people. But it's true in every, you know, in every situation. It's true. If you have someone above you, if they are poor in what they do, you're going to be poor in what you do. In the military, if your leadership, especially like in combat, if you have bad leadership, people die. In law enforcement, if you have poor leadership, you do things wrong, and it can come back and bite you. And it's the same thing spiritually. You know, if we're listening to people or sitting at the feet of people who are sharing the word with us and teaching us, if they don't have it together, you're not going to have it together unless you search the scriptures and take a stand. Vita, what you share, can you hear me, Vita? I think she has her mic off. What Vita shared about giving is so dynamic. Our very first fellowship that we ever ran in the ministry, were all people with children. You know, it was all couples. And there was one woman who had a, her husband was an addict, and he stole from them all the money that she had. and they were estranged, but he, you know, snuck back into the house, and whatever money she had saved up, he stole from her and her two children, and they were young children at the time. They may have been around 9 and 12 years old. And she was being threatened to be kicked out of her apartment or flat, like some of you guys call it. And so Norma and I decided to give our tithe and, you know, burden sharing, our blessings towards keeping her in, you know, her house. And I just told the fellowship what we were going to do, and I made it available to them. I told them, you don't have to do this. You know, I could send that into the ministry, but, you know, it's up to you. So collectively as a fellowship, we pulled together and kept her in her apartment for quite some time. I got in trouble for it. If anybody knows or remembers, I don't know if you remember the blue forms that we used to have to fill out and keep a record of what we were giving to headquarters. I got a phone call from headquarters and wanted to know why it was white. Anyway, that was where God led our hearts. And, you know, sometimes we see the immediate result. The immediate result of us giving to her and her children was that she was able to stay in her apartment. After people moved and we separated, not too long ago, I think a couple of years ago, we found out that her daughter became a registered nurse. Her son, who we took to a Rock of Ages when he was only, I think, 12 or 13, became a superior court judge.
Wow.
Little Tito.
His name was Tito. We used to call him Little Tito, you know? Nicole was only 3 years old. Nikki, I don't even think she was, but, you know, he just fell in love with our daughter, and he became her, I guess, male nanny or whatever you want to call it. You know, he just stayed by her side and protected her. And his mother, the woman that we gave to and kept in her apartment, sent us pictures not too long ago of him being receiving his robe as a superior court judge. And it was such a blessing to know that maybe because of what us believers did for them to keep them solid and not thrown out into the street, possibly help them to become so, you know, successful. And we have to realize that what we say, what we do, what we give, our actions have an immediate effect in people's lives. But we don't know the ripple effect. You know, like the pebble that you throw in a lake. You know, you throw that one pebble and it has 1,000 ripples. The ripple effect by what we think, by what we say, by what we do, can have an everlasting effect on people's lives. And I was so blessed to hear what everybody shared tonight, because everything that you guys have been sharing has a ripple effect in everybody's life, especially in our lives that are listening to what you're saying. You know, sometimes we don't really realize that what we're saying or our testimonies really mean a lot. You know, testimonies beget testimonies. Miracles beget miracles. It doesn't stop. It all has a ripple effect. And I'm very blessed. I know we all are. For you, Lord, and for your kin, to be able to be taught by you guys and for listen to what you share, because, you know, it's not poop coming down from their head. You know, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It is good stuff. And it's good stuff what everybody shares and have been sharing. I've learned so much. I mean, we never stop learning. I think Frank was the one who said that is always new. It's always new. It's living. The Christ in us, the Spirit in us, it's living. And what we're learning is always new if we're open to it. When we get to the point where we think that we have this word or this God understood, that's when we start to lose. Mm. You know, when we become meek and open to the possibility that even a child or even something in nature or an animal that we see, what they do, we can learn something from that. And that we don't understand all this thing, and we really don't understand this God of ours. We can't put him or his word in a box. And when we are of that frame of mind and frame of heart, then we can learn daily, and we can learn from the people that we come in contact with, especially like what you shared on Facebook, Laura, about being with like-minded believers.
Yeah.
That's what my son is finding very hard right now, because he's not with like-minded believers at that church. They are not like-minded about what is available from God. They only deny the things that they... Dr. Will says that you can't go beyond where you're taught.
Yeah.
And if you're not taught that you can, that there's a number 11, you'll always stop at number 10. You can't get to number 11 unless someone teaches you or shares that with you. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. Unless someone is there and believing that healing is possible, that tongues is possible, interpretation of tongues, wisdom. I forgot who shared earlier about, you know, wisdom, that if you just ask God, God is going to give you wisdom. We have to really hold on to these things, these truths, and really ask God to show us and teach us. I remember a long time ago, years ago, 40-something years ago, I asked a leader, I asked somebody, I said, I want to see miracles. And she looked at me and she said, why? I said, because I can't physically see God. Mm. But I know I can see him not only through his word, but through the things that he will do or can do. And she looked at me and smiled and she said, well, ask him. She said, but if your heart's right, step back, because he's going to dump it on you. And he has dumped a lot of stuff on me, good stuff, you know, through the years, and shown us some really great stuff. And it never has to stop. It never has to cease. And I was so blessed that our son came to, you know, made that phone call, and that I didn't say, hey, I have other plans. You know, the other plans, when it comes to the Word or comes to family or comes to believers, unless they're time wasters, if you all know what I mean, the things that we have, you know, the different plans we have, they don't matter when it comes to helping someone or helping someone to understand this God of ours or this Savior of ours or this Word of God that we have. None of that stuff is important. You know, it's important to lead people the right way into what's right and into the walk of Christ, because he passed the baton to us. You know, he said, John 14:12, the works that I do, you shall do. If you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do.
Mm.
I'm going to the Father. And he passed that baton to us. And that's what I shared with my son. And my son said, what's the book of Acts about? And when I shared it to him, that is the passing of the baton to the apostles from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Acts of the Apostles, which is the bridge to, you know, the church, the beginning of the church. He was so blessed, and he said, okay, get off the phone so I can read. You know, that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you, this
Italian is done.
Well done, Italian stallion. Do you want to put it on? Norma, do you want anything to share, love?
Who's available?
Norma, and then Kim's going to teach.
Mike. Let's just stuck with
him. I guess I'm still stuck with Norma.
See, he has to pick me now.
Okay, I'm picking Norma.
Now that I know that poop runs downhill, I know what it means. I can go to sleep tonight and rest.
Norma.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Vita. I thought you prayed for Mike last week.
That's an ongoing thing, you know?
Vita, I think I'm the only one on the face of the earth that prayer doesn't work.
God just has to work harder.
Everybody prays the room here from my mind.
Yeah. I was just blessed with everything that everybody shared. I got stuff from each and every one of these, and like the thing that really hit me the most, well, about I guess it was Jason.
Yeah,
Jason shared about the kid that was in Iran and how God got him to America. That just what God will do when a person is hungry and wants to know Him. He'll figure it out. He'll work it out. You know, it's just that just blows my mind how he did that. Or however it was done, and he got him to a place where he could hear the word. And that just amazing. Makes me want to cry because there's so many people that can't hear the word. They don't have the opportunity to. But somehow God will find a way for them.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm just blessed.
Bless your heart.
I do have one thing. I'd like for you guys to pray for my left foot.
Yeah.
It's hurting like crazy when I walk. And
okay.
Right now I don't have insurance. I'm in the process of getting it, so I can't go to a doctor.
Right.
So
let's listen to it right now.
Okay. It's just I've had two operations on that foot.
Yeah.
For inflammation and different things. And I think it might be scar tissue. I don't know.
Okay.
But.
All right. Well, I just command right now that foot of Norma's, you be healed and restored. Any nerves that are being damaged by the tissue or scarring, you be gone right now. I command any inflammation, any flowing of blood issues just to flow normally. And for any swelling to go down, any discomfort to go down, I command you, foot, you be healed now, and you start to restore, and pain, you start to go, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Bless your heart. Okay. So with that,